God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Very often we have heard of a mythical fountain called the Fountain of Youth. If you would partake of this fountain, it would restore your youthfulness. And I will admit it has a certain amount of appeal to us, especially as we seem to get a little bit older. The mind might get a little bit slower. The bones might creak a little bit more, and we have a little less energy. Wouldn't it be nice to go back to the times when we were younger, more youthful, and could do more things? Well, I will admit, we live in a world where people try to find that fountain of youth. They try various types of surgeries, various types of face creams, hair coloring, anything, maybe even exercise to get back to that those youthful days. Our reading from Acts chapter 2, however, you may think, does it have a fountain of youth in it? Well, in one essence, it certainly does. Maybe not necessarily in the sense that our world would like to create a fountain of youth, but there is a fountain of youth in Acts chapter 2. Maybe a better way to look at this fountain of youth, to better understand it, is to take a look at what is the opposite of the fountain of youth. The opposite of the fountain of youth is death. So if you're trying to get to the fountain of youth, you are trying to avoid death. Keep this in the back of our mind. Why do we try to avoid death? Well, you know, we don't want to give in to the truth. We are getting older. We are having less energy. Our body is falling apart. We kind of like the things of this world and we kind of want to stay here. And there's nothing too wrong about that. But we're going to find out in Acts chapter 2, being connected to Christ is being connected to the fountain of youth. So in Acts chapter 2, we have Peter's sermon being delivered. And in the midst of that sermon, he goes back to the time of the patriarch David, King David, and David's words. And he notes for a moment that King David, he did die. His tomb is here in Jerusalem, and inside that tomb are also his remains. And so, obviously, the fountain of youth didn't quite apply to King David. King David's words about the corruption of flesh were really about the Christ, Jesus the Christ. Christ is that fountain of youth. You see, you could be shown where the tomb of Christ was laid, but when you went into the tomb, as the women did on that first Easter morning, the tomb was empty. Peter and the rest of the disciples were witnesses to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is alive. He conquered death. And because he conquered death, he is the fountain of youth. So Christ gives us this fountain of youth. You see, Christ Jesus gives of himself. He who conquers death for himself conquers death for you so that we will live forever. Another way of describing this fountain of youth, because whenever there is water associated with a fountain, as Christians, our minds should immediately be drawn to the baptismal font. It was in that baptismal font that we have new life. It is in that baptismal font we have the forgiveness of sins. It is in that baptismal font we are a new creation. And this is where we get our youthfulness from, so to speak, our spiritual usefulness. Because of baptism, you will live forever. Death will not conquer you. Hear the words of Paul in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 35. We also use these words in our funeral liturgy. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Hence, the fountain of life. And it is eternal life. We will not die, but we will live with Christ forever and ever. Now let me back up a half a verse. In our text for today, King David writes, because it's being quoted by Peter, "You will not abandon my soul to Hades." And Hades is considered the place of the dead. And Hades is, well, not quite heaven and not quite hell. It's sort of that holding place. Heaven and hell is reserved for that permanent spot after the judgment. But for some who do not believe and trust in Jesus Christ and his saving abilities, however, Hades can also be just as dreadful as hell, where there will be suffering and torment. Jonah describes his adventure being in the belly of the large fish as a type of hell. You yourself may even sort of describe your own life at points as sort of a living hell, if things seem to be falling apart and there's a lot of pain and agony. The worries and the sin of this world can create a hard time for us as Christians. We may even use those words, our life is a living hell. And because of the worries and concerns of sin in this world, it may drain our energy. We may feel a little bit older. It wears on our life. We may even say it contributes to the gray hairs on our heads. But then we also need to pick up the same words that were said of Christ, which is also given to us through this fountain of youth, of holy baptism. You will not be abandoned. You will not be left behind because Christ is with you. Christ encourages us to take up our cross, to take up the times of trials and sufferings in our lives, and to follow him. Not that we are alone or living in hell, because we are never alone, and Christ is with us. The fountain of youth is a reminder that when we face the fiery trials of this world, our living hell, the baptismal waters will comfort us and help extinguish the effects of the living hell. Knowing that hell of this world cannot touch us in eternal life also gives us comfort. So this day we remember the fountain of youth, which is the pathway to life. As Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Following the flow of these baptismal waters will lead us to the fountain of youth. And where will these baptismal waters take us? They will take us to the source, where Jesus himself was hung on the cross. And as he was stabbed into the side by a soldier, Scripture reminds us, out of his side came blood and water. Yes, it is to the cross of Jesus, which is the source of our baptismal waters, which is the source of the fountain of our youth. It leads us to the cross and to the empty tomb because there is our salvation and our everlasting life. In the creation account for today, we are reminded that at the peak of God's creation, God created humanity in his own image. You are important to you. He is not going to abandon you to the worries and sin of this world. Instead, he died on the cross to restore you, to give you that youthfulness, to give you a new spiritual glorified body so that you will live with him in heaven above. Perpetual youth, that's what it is. That's what the fountain of youth is all about. And that is the message that St. Peter is saying to the people of his time and for us today. So we don't need to chase after the fancy creams or surgeries. We don't need to worry about getting consumed by the trials and tribulations of this world. We look to the baptismal font and see the fountain of youth. We look to our Savior on the cross and see our salvation and eternal life. And on this day, as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, We give great praise and thanks as God has revealed Himself to us in His name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.